I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Thursday, July 11th. What to know today about a possible hurricane that could impact the U.S. and the fallout from top secret emails leaked to the world. Plus, the social media summit, Snapchat changes, and the highest paid celebrity. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview, talking about the myths, mistakes, and milestones of going to the moon 50 years ago. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. A major storm is headed toward the Gulf Coast right now. It's expected to turn into a tropical storm and could even become a hurricane by the weekend. The Weather Channel reports hurricane watches are in effect in southern Louisiana, meaning hurricane conditions are possible there within 2 days. That area was already hit by 10 inches of rain yesterday, so there was a flash flood emergency for New Orleans, and some streets turned into rivers. The AP reports more rain is on the way, and it could push the Mississippi River over the levees that protect New Orleans. The impact of the storm depends on exactly where the storm ultimately lands and how strong it gets. Stay tuned. Stocks reached record highs yesterday. The S&P 500 broke above 3,000 for the first time. And CNBC says both the NASDAQ and Dow Jones also reached all-time highs. It all came after comments from the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell. He pointed to a slowing economy across the globe and more uncertainty in the U.S. So why is that good news for investors? Because he suggested the Fed could cut interest rates soon, which in turn could make stocks more appealing. For example, when it's cheaper to borrow money, consumers may spend more, which can then lead to better profits for public companies. UK's ambassador to the US says he's out. He's resigning. The reason? Well, Kim Derrick says it's impossible to do his job now that President Trump won't talk to him. And the reason for that? Leaked emails that criticize Trump. The BBC reports earlier this week confidential emails were leaked that showed Derrick called the Trump administration, quote, clumsy and inept. So the White House said it's cutting ties with Derrick, and Trump called him wacky and stupid. But some British politicians say Derrick was just doing his job, and those emails should have never been leaked. So far, no word on who might replace Derrick as the British ambassador to the U.S. The White House social media summit is today. The White House told the AP it'll be a gathering of digital leaders to talk about today's online environment. The full guest list is not available at this point, but so far people who say they're going mostly include Trump supporters, such as conservative groups, lawmakers, and some right-leaning media, even some conspiracy theorists. And even though this is a meeting about social media, Vox reports Google, Facebook, and Twitter were not invited. Instead, the Wall Street Journal reports those companies could be a target during today's summit. Remember, the president and others have voiced concerns with social media platforms, saying they suppress conservative voices. The tech companies say it's not true. And Trump's critics call this meeting just a political ploy, that it's not really meant to address online issues. Either way, some experts expect problems with big tech to be a theme during Trump's re-election campaign. Scientists may have found the oldest human remains outside of Africa. The Washington Post reports two skulls were found in a cave in Greece. Researchers believe it's the earliest evidence of modern humans in Europe and Asia. One skull is more than 200,000 years old. Experts say that's a huge discovery, because before this, the earliest remains found are less than 45,000 years old.
If scientists are right, it could potentially push back the timeline of when humans first left Africa and arrived in Europe. But not everyone's so sure. Skeptics say no other evidence was found near these skulls. No tools, no signs, or anything that suggests humans were actually there. So they need more examples to feel confident. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break to thank today's sponsor, Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app that will get you to speak that language you've always wanted to know and speak it with confidence. I love that Babbel makes it so easy to get started and to keep going. That's key for me. Lessons are broken up into just 10 to 15 minutes, so it doesn't feel overwhelming. And I especially love to use Babbel before I travel. Babbel is designed to quickly get you speaking your new language within weeks. Babbel's teaching method has been proven effective across multiple studies, and you can focus on having real-life conversations in that language. So give it a try. Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in the world for a reason. And you can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app to try Babbel for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L, Babbel.com, or download the app to try Babbel for free and start speaking that new language with confidence. Now back to the news. Amazon and the British government are working together to provide more reliable health information through Alexa. Yes, voice assistant Alexa on Amazon's smart speakers. CNBC reports the UK's National Health Service, or NHS, calls the partnership the first in the world and a chance to give people faster, more accurate health advice. So when someone in the UK has a question about their symptoms and how to treat the issue, they can just ask Alexa, such as, how do I treat a migraine? Then an algorithm will use that information from the NHS website for the answers. The Verge reports this could be a big help for older people and blind patients, and the UK's health department hopes it will take some of the pressure off of doctors there. But some people are a bit worried about privacy, and experts say it's important to make sure the advice Alexa provides is actually safe. Now playing on Snapchat, creator shows. The Verge says the shows will be first-person videos about beauty, fitness, dance, and fashion, featuring celebrities like Serena Williams, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Kevin Hart. There will be about 10 episodes per season, and they'll be about 5 minutes long. You can find the shows on Snapchat's Discovery page. Variety reports this will give popular creators a way to extend their reach and make sure they keep using Snapchat. By the way, Snap is also rolling out Highlights, which will be similar to Instagram Highlights. It's a combo of photos and videos that show up on users' profiles. Who's the top-earning superstar? Taylor Swift is number one on Forbes' 2019 list of the world's highest-paid entertainers. The report says Swift earned $185 million over the past year, a more than 130% increase from the year before. She can thank her last tour for that. It broke the record for the highest-grossing tour in the U.S. Number two on that Forbes list is Kylie Jenner. Jenner's net worth is $1 billion, but Swift is still considered the highest-paid celebrity for the year. By the way, even though the top two spots went to women, only 16 of the top 100 are female. The women's national soccer team is back in the U.S. after winning their fourth World Cup title on Sunday. And along with celebrating the win, equality was a clear theme again at yesterday's victory parade in New York. Remember, some star players on the team filed a discrimination lawsuit against U.S. soccer earlier this year. They say not only are they paid less than men, but they're also provided with less investment and support despite being the best in the world. The Washington Post reports, in recent years, the women's soccer games have brought in even more revenue than the men's. And speaking of the U.S. women's soccer team, they were at the ESPY Awards last night and got another trophy, this one for Best Team. Soccer star Alex Morgan also won for Best Female Athlete. She said, quote, "Sorry, but this is probably the second best trophy we won this week." ESPY is short for Excellence in Sports Performance Yearly Award. ESPN reports Best College Athlete went to Zion Williamson, a former Duke basketball player who was just the number one pick in the NBA draft. The Best Comeback went to the St. Louis Blues, who recently won the Stanley Cup. Other ESPY winners this year include Lindsey Vonn, Rob Gronkowski, and Dwayne Wade. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know, only on Thursdays after the news. This month marks 50 years since the Apollo 11 mission, when Neil Armstrong made history as the first man to walk on the moon. Today, we're talking about the myths, mistakes, and milestones surrounding that historic day 50 years ago, and now some of the plans to go back to the moon.
My guest today is Jennifer Ross Nazell, an award-winning historian with NASA. She holds the unique distinction of being a scholar of NASA history and women's history and has been featured in several documentaries. So here's my conversation with Jennifer Ross Nazell about Apollo 11. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thank you for inviting me.
So first, let's talk about some of the key things that happened leading up to the first human walking on the moon. And I believe it started with President John F. Kennedy 8 years earlier, right?
Yes. So in May of 1961, President John F. Kennedy challenged the American people and said that we should send a man to the moon and return him safely by the end of the decade. Within NASA, the person in charge of the space task group was said to have been aghast because he was quite surprised and he realized that he would be responsible for achieving this goal. But we did not know yet how to land a man on the moon. We'd only at that point had 15 minutes of time in space. Alan Shepard was the first American to fly in space, but it was a suborbital flight. We hadn't even flown in Earth orbit yet. So it was a huge challenge to overcome. And some of the things we had to do were learn about how long humans could actually live and work in space. Could they live and work effectively? We also wanted to know whether or not men could effectively work outside of a spacecraft. And so we had to master what's known as EVAs, or extravehicular activities, otherwise known as spacewalks. Gene Cernan, in particular, had what he called the spacewalk from hell. He actually suffered a sunburn while he was out. We ended up mastering all of these techniques and proving that we could actually do these tasks. We did have a major setback, and that was the Apollo 1 fire. That took place in January of 1967. There was always a fear we were going to lose astronauts in space, but we ended up losing a crew on Earth. They were doing a test at Cape Kennedy. A lot of people talk about the Apollo 1 fire and how important that was to actually getting us to the moon. Even though people might think, well, that was a horrific event. You lost three astronauts. But a lot of people say the loss of the lives of these astronauts really led NASA to really re-examine Apollo and the path that they were on and really focus on relationships between the contractors, think about safety, redesigning the spacecraft. So many things were re-examined at that point. And then we went on to have some very successful test flights of unmanned Apollo spacecraft. And then we started sending men on board the Apollo spacecraft. And those flights, 7, 8, 9, 10, they all were sort of building blocks to that first lunar landing, which was Apollo 11.
And it's clear that NASA felt a lot of pressure and had to do a lot over those 8 years. What was the mindset of the American people after they heard Kennedy talk about that and this got underway?
I think that there is a myth that the American people were 100% behind the space program. And that's not entirely true. Some people were big space nuts. They really liked the space program. It was very exciting. The astronauts themselves were celebrities, but not all Americans thought this was a great idea. A lot of people thought we were wasting money. That money could be better spent here on Earth solving other problems like poverty or problems in education, you know, a whole host of other problems that humanity was facing at that point. So not everyone got behind the Apollo program. Our administrator at the time, and even Lyndon Johnson, who was vice president and then became president, talked about the real benefits of space and that money wasn't being spent on the moon. That money was being spent here on Earth in terms of salaries and building facilities. And so that there were real tangible benefits as a result of the space program itself.
And either way, it ended up happening on July 20th, 1969, that the first man walked on the moon. Let's talk about the actual day. And what goes on behind the scenes on a day like that?
Well, probably the most significant moments that are happening down on the ground here in Houston in Mission Control. It's a very important moment. They've been simulating this landing for many months and working together to make sure that when they landed on the moon, it was sort of rote. You know, they knew exactly what had to happen and how things were going to happen. Gene Kranz came in, locked the doors and said, "We're going to land on the moon today." Or maybe we're not going to land on the moon, but whatever happens, I'm with you. We're a team. There were some hairy moments, of course, as they began to land. There were some alarms that went off. There was a crater that Armstrong encountered as he was trying to land. He actually had to take over and manually land the lunar module. They weren't expecting to see the fuel level go as low as it did. Lunar module controller Bob Carlton actually had a stopwatch at that time and was watching to see if they would have enough fuel to land on the moon. By the time they landed on the moon, said contact light, he stopped that stopwatch and found that they had 18 seconds of fuel remaining.
Walk us through when everything was successful. Just kind of give our audience a recap of those first steps and what Neil Armstrong did.
He put on his spacesuit and got ready to walk on the moon, went down the ladder. And of course, you know, we remember his first words. That's one small step for a man. There's a big debate over whether or not he said amen, one giant leap for mankind. So those words were so important. You know, they indicated sort of the end of the space race that we had with the Soviet Union. And then, of course, there were other important moments for that EVA. We have the deployment of the U.S. flag on the moon, the conversation with Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong with President Nixon, in which he talks about this being probably the most historic phone call from the White House to the moon. So they have a chance to talk with the president while they're on the lunar surface. They're putting out some experiments, gathering soil and lunar rocks, and of course, taking pictures to prove that we actually accomplished this goal and setting up a TV camera so Americans can see what's happening on the lunar surface.
Of course, there's still people who believe that it didn't happen. What's NASA's opinion about that?
Well, I can't really say that NASA has an opinion on that, but I will say that we've talked with one of the moonwalkers who landed on the moon and kind of says, well, if people don't want to believe that we went on this greatest journey of mankind, you know, that's up to them. But we really did accomplish it.
So then Apollo 17 was the final manned moon mission in 1972. Why was that the last?
Well, for a number of reasons. I mean, basically, there were three additional missions that were going to be flown, 18, 19, and 20. But because the federal budget was sort of a mess at that point, we were fighting a war in Vietnam, there were high inflation figures, the U.S. basically decided that Apollo was no longer a priority.
The big reason was money and the budget.
Absolutely, yes.
I know you've also been involved with women's studies, and it sounds like plans for the future involve a female astronaut walking on the moon for the first time. What do you know about that, and how important is that?
Well, our administrator keeps talking about how that is the plan. The first female astronaut land on the moon by 2024, and the next male astronaut, we're going to see a diverse group of people land on the moon for the first time, not just Caucasian male astronauts. So many people are influenced by what they see on TV, what they hear in the news. And sometimes it takes seeing a person who looks like you, who is your same gender, who's your same ethnicity, to say, hey, you know, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could be an astronaut.
And you can read more about this historic day and what's happening this month to mark the 50th anniversary. You can just look for the links in your podcast app in today's episode description. You'll also find the sources for all the other stories we talked about in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday, so we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.